Every day, a million people enter the United States. Travelers, visitors, newcomers, and some who intend us harm. And every day, the men and women of U.S. Customs and Border Protection safeguard our nation. CBP officers stop terrorists, drugs, and counterfeit goods before they enter our country. In an uncertain world, CBP is America's edge. Visit cbp.gov/careers. CBP, America's edge. CBP is an equal opportunity employer.
This is Pop Health Week on the Blog Talk Radio and Affiliate Networks. This episode is brought to you by the Florida Association of Accountable Care Organizations, also known as FLACO. Welcome, everyone. I'm Greg Masters, the producer and co-host of the show. And in the virtual studio today is my colleague, Fred Goldstein, principal co-host and co-founder here at Pop Health Week. Hello, Fred.
Hello, Greg. It's great to be back today.
How you doing down there in Jacksonville? All good?
Been doing very well. I assume the same for you on the West Coast?
Oh, yeah. Mum's the word here. No complaints. So for those of you not familiar with Fred, he is a veteran healthcare executive and the president of Accountable Health, LLC, a Jacksonville, Florida-based consulting firm. Fred serves on the editorial board of the Journal of Population Health Management and the advisory board of the Care Innovations Validation Institute. He is also past chair and former board member of the Population Health Alliance, also known as PHA. Fred is known on Twitter as @FSGoldstein. My background includes thought leadership and strategy consulting for hospitals, health systems, and physician-led ventures. I publish and principally author ACOWatch.com, HealthInnovationMedia.com, and PrecisionMedicine.Center. Please follow me on Twitter by @2HealthGuru. So today we're going to be treated to Nicole's take on the results recently reported by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and end the program with a preview of the agenda and lineup for the third annual gathering of the Florida Association of Florida on October 13th and 14th. And now for our special guest, Nicole Bradbury, who is making her third appearance on this broadcast, the last two of which are included in the Pop Health Week program description at our Blog Talk Radio page. Nicole is the CEO of FLACO, the Florida Association of ACOs, and has recently been tagged as chief executive of a company called Captify Health. Her bio notes, she's a visionary healthcare leader who drives growth, revenue, and speed to market by developing strategic relationships and leveraging her strong operations and technology background. Nicole has extensive experience setting strategic direction and communicating vision to drive innovative business models, as well as deliver technology and business solutions that increase revenue, decrease cost, elevate client and business productivity, improve patient access, clinical quality, and the overall patient experience for startup early stage to Fortune 50 organizations. So with no further ado, Fred, over to you. Tell us what's on, help us get to know what's on Nicole's plate at the moment.
Thanks so much, Greg and Nicole. It's a pleasure to have you back again for the third time.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it's really it's fantastic. We run across each other every couple of months, it seems, at different conferences or places throughout the state or country. And again, it's great to talk to you. Let's start a little bit, Nicole, with the results that CMS put out and sort of your take on where ACOs are and where they're going. So perhaps, you know, as I look at the results, they seem to be a bit mixed. But what's your thinking on that?
So I think the results are great. You know, I guess I see this as a journey. I see, you know, ACOs as kind of a catalyst to, you know, value-based care, which includes all kinds of different payment models. It at the end of it, the journey is around better patient care, lower cost, you know, good access, all of the things that we want in our healthcare system. And ACOs are just one of those vehicles that's pushing us there. You know, it's changing the way doctors are paid and therefore the way they interact with their patients, as well as, you know, work with the rest of the care system to make sure that people are talking to each other and putting the patient kind of at the center. And so, you know, back for the results, you know, I think, you know, they saved more than they lost. It wasn't a home run as far as, you know, a great, you know, win as far as more savings and losses. But I think, you know, it's moving that needle. And for Florida, I actually think it's a really good story. You know, I think, you know, Florida is a unique market. It was one of the bigger markets that really embraced ACOs. Lots of spend, high benchmarks in Florida, but, you know, 78% of the ACOs in Florida saved money. And so that number, I think, is very significant, and people maybe want to look at Florida and figure out why they're doing so well. And so, you know, 64% actually got a check, but 78% made money. So that's I think, is a great win. And we'll be talking about it at the association meeting coming up.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting as you pointed out, because when you look at it in the aggregate, obviously there's some results. As you said, it looks like quality is beginning to really get moved quite a bit. A little less success maybe on the saving side, but there are clearly areas or organizational types or organizations that are successful at this. And Florida, as you point out, is one that really has done, it looks like, a better job overall in terms of it. And from your perspective, because you also do see things around the country and other places, what are some of the things you think that lead to that here in our state?
Well, I think, you know, you've got a lot, you've got higher spend here. So you've got more opportunity to do creative things. So I think that helps some of the ACOs here. I think you also have a large Medicare Advantage. So, you know, doctors and MSOs and groups that naturally went into the ACO space were used to risk coding. They were used to looking at health status of patients. They were used to doing some unique strategies. So I think that gave them a bit of a leg up. You know, the fact that they've done managed care here where it sort of fizzled and died in other parts of the country, I think gave Florida an advantage. But, you know, I work with these folks. You know, many of the folks that got big checks are on my board of FLACOs, and they're doing some really neat stuff. You know, they're you know, bringing data together. They're looking at, you know, how do we touch every single patient from the get-go? And, you know, when I go around the rest of the country, and I've been doing that in various different roles, they might be a little behind on some of these strategies. And so I think looking to Florida and looking to some of the things that are being done here might be a good idea.
Oh, no, I agree with that completely. And obviously, and we'll get to the conference, there are people coming who have, you know, demonstrated success, which is what you really want to be coming to a conference for, to hear from, particularly from other ACOs that maybe are just either stepping into the space or haven't seen that kind of success yet. And as you think about Florida, it is interesting that in many ways, from an ACO perspective, we're sort of leading because we are getting some very good results. Even given the fact that maybe we have a higher baseline spend, at the end of the day, you still got to do something. You know, you've got to implement those programs that actually move that spend, that improve the quality, that take some of those costs out. And as your board looks at that, are there certain things you talked about, engaging people early? What are some of the other strategies and techniques you're seeing these organizations do?
Well, I think, you know, really understanding who these patients are from the get-go, really focusing on, I think variable that if you look at Florida, there's a lot of independent ACOs here that aren't tied to hospitals. And I think in a lot of ways they have a leg up. I mean, ultimately you got to partner well with a hospital, but a lot of the spend that we're looking at removing and where these ACOs have found savings are coming out of the hospital. So aggressively, you know, putting strategies in place that keep patients healthy and with their doctor are some of the leading strategies that I'm seeing. You know, really aggressive transition of care, post-acute, you know, really looking at that with a, you know, magnifying glass, say, where are the opportunities, you know, getting people to go to urgent care or go to their primary instead of the ER is a huge one. 40% of people that go to an ER end up in the hospital. And so if you can stop that, you've made significant, you know, changes in the number of people that go inpatient. You know, just, you know, really just looking at all of those ways to keep people out of the hospital and keep them healthy. I mean, I'll tell you one thing that I know that a lot of them put in place was cardiac. Cardiac is probably one of the number one issues for every ACO as far as spend everywhere in the country. And if you look at it, you'll see that a huge portion of that spend is people going into the hospital every 3 or 4 months for room and board and eval. There's no procedures being done. So that just tells you they're an unmanaged cardiac patient. Getting those patients managed, putting some, care wrappers, care coordination around them, will get them in their office. The doctors do the right thing when they're there. It's just getting them there. And so things like that are being deployed. And that takes patient engagement and really, and engaging these patients from the moment that you find out they're in your ACO. So that's just a few lists. There's a ton of different strategies. And, one of the reasons you want to come to Flacco's is that that's what these guys that are doing this stuff every day are going to be talking about on these panels.
Absolutely. And the point you raised earlier, which is something that sort of raised its head at the beginning, first year results of ACOs, was this physician and provider led, potentially versus hospital led. And I still see this out in the community when I'm going around and talking to ACOs or talking to hospitals. The senior executives of many, not all hospitals, but of many of them are still saying, I live in a fee-for-service world. I live on filling my beds. I'm going to keep filling my beds. And so they probably struggle a bit as an ACO. And I've even heard from some of the folks in other states who are running ACOs that are hospital led that one example was something effect that I had a great first year. My ACO saved money. I got called into the CEO's office and got chewed out and told not to do that again by the hospital executive.
Exactly.
That's a great point you raised and all these other ideas. So let's turn a little bit to the annual conference. And this one's going to be at the Omni Orlando Resort, a great hotel, October 13th and 14th. So give us a little feel for the conference, and then we'll get into some of the specifics, maybe about some of the speakers and programs as well.
Okay. Well, the conference really does bring ACO leaders from around the state of Florida, and I actually get them from other places, not just in Florida, but mostly the folks that are running these ACOs that we just spoke about, fill the panels. I want people that are doing this every day that really know what works, what doesn't work, talking to the folks that are coming there to learn something. We do have business partners that help fund all of this, and we're pretty selective. We only allow those that really bring value to the ACO space, and so you'll get one vendor typically on a panel, but the rest are filled with actual ACO directors, leaders, et cetera. We broke the conference this year into two tracks. We have one track, which is ACO Fundamentals, MSSP and Beyond. And that's really for those ACOs that are either new or are struggling with certain areas, analytics or looking at post-acute or, any of the fundamental areas that they need to, how to get your data in, things like that. How to manage against your benchmark, how to even look at that stuff. And so that's one track. The second track, which I really am excited about, is around value-based care transition. These ACOs, like I said earlier, are the beginning, of a journey to value-based care. Where that journey ends, I don't think anybody knows. It could be taking partial risk, could be more full risk. It could be some of these entities become the future provider-sponsored health plans. But whatever that is, there's steps to get there. And all of these ACOs are looking for help on how do I do it? How do I become a CIN, clinically integrated network? What do I need to do contractually to do that? Do I need to bring in somebody from a reinsurer to help me offset some of the risk? Things like that. These folks, typically are independent physician groups, and this is new stuff trying to, tackle this journey to risk. And so the second track is really focused on helping those that are ready to move on to what's next, get there.
Yeah, this is the third year, actually, I'll be attending this conference, and I've enjoyed it every year. And I've also seen it get better and better every year, both, from a operational perspective, from a content perspective, from a networking perspective. And now splitting into these two tracks, I think is really a great one. For those ACOs or those people who maybe are a little earlier in the game or haven't implemented a lot of stuff, or those ACOs that are really looking at, okay, what is happening? How do I actually do this more advanced value-based care system? And so as you think about these two groups and have brought these two together, it really does cover both providers and hospitals, and they're getting input from people, as you said, who are actually doing it. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the individuals who will be attending?
So I have, you know, one of the big winners in Florida, you know, from a shared savings perspective is Palm Beach ACO. David Kobonis that runs that one is coming. Millennium and over on the southwest side of Florida is coming, and Balfour Francis, who runs that ACO, and I think this year saved $37 million. He's on these panels. You know, I can go on and on. There's Sheila Fusse, who runs Primary Care Partners. There's Larry Jones, who runs the big one there in Orlando. There's, you know, I mean, it's just filled with these people that are truly running these ACOs. I also have Mike Barrett, who lives in Florida, but he's also the chairman of the National Association of ACOs. He is coming and will be facilitating as well as appearing on a panel. I have, I'm trying to think, I've got you, you know, you're always so gracious to come back and host and facilitate a panel for me. And you obviously have, to Greg's earlier bio, you know, great strength and expertise in this area. And so, you know, I've got the people that are really doing this on these panels. I've also got a few payers. So every year I do one panel where I bring all the payers together to talk about, you know, where are they thinking? What is their next steps in value-based care, and how can providers partner with them? You know, so often these providers want to do some unique and creative things, but can't get past their network manager that works their local market. And so I'm bringing, you know, senior people from United, senior people from Aetna, senior people from Cigna to this conference, not only to, you know, present on kind of where they're going strategically, but also they're at the conference. You can go up and shake their hand and meet them and hopefully build a relationship that's going to help these ACOs. And so I think that's very, very unique. And of course, I have all my business partners and vendors that, you know, bring some unique stuff. One individual that I think is doing some cool stuff is Steve Seidel from Mindula Health. He is creating a kind of a virtual behavioral health model. And, you know, you could just plug that in. We all know that's such a big area of spend, the impact of behavioral health, you know, with high-cost care. And so, you know, I've got folks like that I personally know and think are doing some creative stuff in this market. So,
yeah.
And then my key, oh, well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'll say keynote, my keynotes are on day one. I've got Dr. Robert Fields. He is the chief medical director of Mission Health Partners. He's also a board member of NACOS. And I think he brings a really good perspective to what's going on in the provider landscape. He comes from a big system, which I wanted to, even though most of the ACOs, I think, in Florida are independent, you know, he brings that health system perspective. And so I thought he'd be a really good one to talk on day one. And then day two, I've got Renee Lear, who leads GuideWell, which is the service entity of Florida Blue. And he's coming to really talk about what they're doing. You know, Florida Blue is the big payer in Florida, and I think really resonates with a Florida Association of ACOs. So he's day two. We had him last year, and everybody really liked him, so we asked him if he would come back.
I'd just say that when Renee spoke last year, I remember Greg and I stepped out of the room and just looked at each other and said, oh, my gosh, that was unbelievable what they were doing and what we learned from that presentation. It really, and then I remember immediately Craig said, we got to get this guy in an interview, which we did. And I think some of you can probably find that from last year, but it really was an amazing presentation. And as you said, these health plans, they're sort of finding their way in this new world too, and trying to figure out how they bring their expertise in engagement or medical management or analytics to providers, in many cases of the Aetnas and the Uniteds, the others who are now partnering with providers on ACOs or other innovative value-based care models. So it's a good opportunity to get together with them as well.
Yeah, I think they're doing, you know, when I see the transition, because I came from the payer world, I was with the payer side for 16 years. You know, what I see what they're doing differently is, you know, first they're creating these service entities like Optum and Healthogen and GuideWell. And they're saying, how can we support all of this new stuff that providers need in the same way we supported our own health plans for years and years. So I think that's an interesting market shift. And then the other thing is they're actually becoming providers. They're saying, okay, we see what's happening here. Care is moving more on the front end. And how do we become that and stay relevant as healthcare is changing? So I think those two dynamics are pretty interesting to watch, as well as, you know, traditionally how they need to partner with, you know, providers today. So.
Yeah. So as you think about this conference, obviously people are going to come and they're going to hear from people who are actually doing it. Many of these are very successful ACOs. And in Florida, I think sometimes, as you talked about, because of Medicare Advantage and there are providers, we have many providers in this who have moved to other kinds of risk models with Medicare Advantage plans. So there are some unique approaches that individuals will hear from some of these groups. Talk a little bit about the hotel, obviously. I mean, this is a beautiful place too. I think you actually have some extra days. People can stay at the discounted rate if they want to come down and stay either before or potentially later.
Yeah, it's a beautiful hotel. You know, we've tried every year, because we are a Florida association, to really, you know, play off of that. You know, we try to find a hotel that's very resorty feely, and definitely is that hotel that you can bring your family and stay and vacation. And the Omni is equal to the other two that we've done in the past. And so I think people will really enjoy it. And if they want to bring additional family members and enjoy all that Orlando has to offer, whether they just stay and get pampered within the hotel or go outside and do all the fun things that Orlando has to offer, it's a great place to have a conference.
Great. You've also got an opportunity, I know, to network, set up in these schedules, and there's vendors have a place as well, don't they?
Yep. We have a separate room just for them. We also have vendors that, you know, sponsor the cocktail hour. And I will say that one, and you will have to attest to this, and hopefully you agree with me, but I do think one thing that's unique about this conference is a really fun conference. You know, where everybody kind of lets down their hair, and it's very networky, it's fun, and I think at the end of it, everybody's had a great time. They've learned a lot, but they've also had a great time. So.
Yeah, I would, as you said, you don't need to prod me to do that. It actually was one of the more enjoyable overall conferences, both from a perspective of me learning, but also getting the chance to network and network in a friendly, relaxed atmosphere, which I found very, very good for myself and my business, and also for just getting a chance to talk to experts after the presentation or during the networking events. It was very open. So I really applaud you on that. It looks like, you know, again, this year you put together an incredible group of speakers from all different areas and tracks. Are there other areas you'd like to touch on today that maybe people could consider getting to come to this, either from out of state or in state, as to why they should be here?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've covered most of them already. I mean, I think it's a great learning environment. I think we've covered, you know, both sides of what ACOs need, you know, fundamentals as well as where they're going next. I think it's not only for people that are in ACOs today, but actually people that want to be in ACOs. You know, how do you get started? Well, come to the conference. You're going to meet everybody and hear everything, you know, to get going, I think. I think for out-of-state folks, you know, every year we're getting more and more people from out-of-state, because I think, you know, that, you know, like I said earlier, or we said earlier, Florida's doing it right. You know, we're kind of leading other areas of the country. And so if you want to learn from the best and network with the best, I think this is a great conference to do that. And so, you know, I think it's unique. You know, I speak at a lot of conferences in the ACO space, and even though this is my conference and I'm a little biased, I do think it's one of the better ones, and so it's certainly worth the travel.
Absolutely. And I'd also mention this. Other providers, maybe they're in an ACO, but maybe they're also doing other things, or providers that aren't in ACOs but want to learn more about value-based contracting, some of those issues and ideas, how you might do it through your practice or for your facility, even maybe in terms of direct contracting, as we're seeing that big change go on with employer groups looking to direct contracting. You can learn from these ACOs that are doing these value-based care, even if you're not functioning as an ACO. So I think that's another really good reason to come to the conference.
Well, and that's true. And that makes a great point. So we started, and we certainly branded this conference as the Florida Association of ACOs. I take ACO in the broader sense of accountable care, which to me equates to value-based care. So you don't have to be in an MSSP or even a commercial ACO to get value out of this conference. You can just want to build a clinically integrated network. You might want to build an MSO that is able to contract with commercial payers for value-based contracts. I mean, it's a conference that's growing and evolving as this movement to value-based care is growing and evolving. So that's a really great point.
Or you may even be a provider group. Say you're an orthopedic group that's looking at some value-based or bundled payments or other types of models, and you can learn from that, you know, how to prepare for risk, you know, how do you tie reimbursement to value, those kinds of things. So I think it does have a very broad approach. And as you said, it is really at the end of the day about creating an accountable care group that's essentially working in a value-based environment to improve quality and reduce costs. So I do agree with you. It should really be considered a much broader than just an ACO type of conference. Although obviously these ACOs have gone pretty far in implementing many of these processes that can improve any type of clinical practice or hospital operations group as they move away from fee-for-service.
Well, you know, the ortho example, I think, gave me a great segue to talk about the company I just joined, Captify Health. You know, I've been in this space, I think, early on, before even people called it a space, which is value-based healthcare, very much focused on primary care. And I still am very passionately supportive of the power and impact that primary care can have. But what I'm doing now is really a leap into, you know, some of what's next. I see the need for specialists to really figure out how they play in this new space. They've been kind of, you know, hanging out there going, how do we, you know, become value-based deliverers of care? How do we get rewarded? You know, what payment models are there for us? And so, you know, I'm seeing companies and groups and you know, specialists come together and organize in order to be able to go to payers, go to CMS and say, you know, we want to participate in bundles. We want to participate in shared savings. We want to do some unique risk contracts. And so I've joined a company, Captify Health, who's doing just that in the digestive health space. And so I'm very excited about it. I think it's kind of a unique challenge for me, but I think you will start to see more and more of that activity as other specialty groups start to come together and say, you know, we want to participate too.
Absolutely. That, you know, and I think that's a great point, that here's a unique specialty group that you're now the CEO of, that's good, with a program that's going to try and move into this value-based care. There's a great opportunity for all providers to consider that. And that sort of leads to the you know, this next sort of thinking, where do you see all of this going over the next couple of years, or maybe even perhaps a decade, in with the healthcare system as they drive down towards value-based care? Is the end game, in essence, going to a global cap, or are there stop-offs along the way, or does it move in an entirely different direction?
Well, you know, what's global cap other than providers taking dollar one, right, and figuring out how to distribute it smartly so that all the right incentives are in place. And so I think it could take lots of different forms. It could be a traditional payer paying global cap and then letting the physician organization figure out how to incent their doctors and the different, you know, constituents within them the right way to keep, you know, them profitable. It could be a provider-sponsored health plan where the provider is the health plan and does kind of the same thing. How do we distribute to everybody so we incent correctly? I think probably what's going to happen from an outcomes perspective is, you know, we had HMOs back in the 80s, and they were very good at bringing costs, but nobody was very happy with them. And I don't know that we really changed the health status of people. And I think what's unique about what's happening now is we have data that we didn't have before. We can integrate, we can talk to each other. You know, we can still be independent as physicians, but easily communicate with all the other people that are caring for our patients. And so I think at the end of this, I believe that the health status of the United States and their patients is going to improve if this is done well. And I think at the same time, we'll get costs under control and start to see trends that don't outweigh, you know, the national inflation rate. So I think that's the goal. I believe the only chance we have of ever getting there, especially with, you know, the aging population, is through value-based healthcare. And I think it's going to take about 10 years to get there or more.
Well, fantastic. Thanks so much. It looks like we're coming up to the end of the show. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Greg.
And that'll have to be the last word for today's broadcast. I want to thank Nicole Bradbury for her time and insights today, and my colleague Fred Goldstein for his masterful hosting skills. Do follow the Florida Association of ACOs on Twitter by @Flacos, F-L-A-A-C-O-S, and on the web at www.flacos.com. And while you're there, check out the details and the agenda for the annual meeting in Orlando, October 13th and 14th. Until we meet again on Pop Health Week, for Fred Goldstein, this is Greg Masters saying bye now.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
At National University, you don't just get a degree in teaching. You get a degree in
teaching me how to make a robot operate.
Helping me get a standing ovation.
Making me want to come back tomorrow.
Jana Owen. Helping us all leave our mark.
We know it's not just the degree. It's the degree to which you use it. Help guide the next generation with a bachelor's in elementary education. Learn more at nu.edu. National University, for the greater.